Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, John. How are you today?
Hey, Joanne. How's everything going?
It's going. We have a very interesting evening tonight. We have a repeat guest. We have Anthony Raimondo on. He is the author of the book, When the Bullet Hits the Bone. Anthony is, I want to say, former mobster, a real mafioso. We'll talk about which families he was in when we get him on. And we also have actor Artie Pasquale, who plays a mobster on The Sopranos. And Anthony has said to us in our show that he was on prior that some of the stories on The Sopranos were based on a lot of things that Anthony went through in his life. So we want to put the two of them together and see what's going on. So, but before we start, I'd like to say thank you to everybody for joining us, our listeners, our callers, our guests, Anthony Raimondo, Artie Pasquale, John, of course, you, and our sponsors. And they are Catskill Provisions, The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, and KWV Wines. Welcome to the show, Anthony Raimondo. How are you, honey?
Good. Not bad, kid. How you doing?
Good, good. So, you're back.
Yeah, like a bad penny, I'm back.
Yeah. Well, just to remind everybody, the book revolves around a couple of stories, actually. And if you don't mind reminding everybody, the book is based on can you fill the listeners in for those who missed the last show?
Yeah. Well, one of the stories is about when I was a kid, how I got in trouble and I went to Vietnam. I have in there about the stock swindle with the Vatican in the 70s. In 75 with my cousins that I was selling the stocks here in New York. Then there's the assassination of Pope John Paul I. We have Lufthansa. And then we have a story with Mayor Koch, Ed Koch, how we got him into office.
Right. Now, how old were you when the Pope thing went down?
Well, that was figure, if I tell you right now, I think it's 63, 70s. 25? Yeah, I was 25.
25. No, because I actually went and got my hair done today, and I was talking to my hairdresser, and I mentioned to her, you know, everything that you did in the book. And she goes, oh, he must be really old. I said, no, he's not. I said, he's like in his 50s. I said, he was young.
No, I'm not. I'm in my 60s.
Oh, okay. Well, you're still young.
Yeah,
but I said he just came out of Vietnam, and you know, and she couldn't believe that, you know, in your book you mentioned, I told her a couple things that in your book that the mafia kind of ran the Vatican to some degree. Yes.
Well, the Italian ones out there, yeah, they all ran the Vatican. My cousins were all cardinals out there. They were cardinals and bishops in the Vatican. They lived in Vatican City.
Yeah. And what was the reason again that they wanted to take the Pope out again?
Because what happened after the new Pope came in, he wanted to excommunicate everybody and defrock them, which meant now everybody's going to fall under Italian law and United States law.
Mm.
And if you ever see the prison in Italy, it looks like one of those dungeons you see in these horror movies in the castle.
Wow. And another question she had for me. how come you're not in jail if you're writing about this? And how come you're still alive since you're writing about this? And I said, well, I believe most of the people you wrote about are no longer with us, right?
Nobody's around anymore, and statute of limitations ran out.
Right, right. I mentioned that to her. So she was a little skeptical on the book, to be honest, you know, about the things you said transpired,
well,
I guess.
Everything was proven in the book to be true, especially everything with me and Maya Lansky.
Yeah, well, she's Italian, so that's why, I guess, she felt that way. I don't know.
Is she Italian or is she Sicilian? There's a difference.
That I don't know. Don't know the difference between the two, if she is or not. But so the book is doing really well, right?
Yeah, it's coming along real good now.
Good, good. And you're doing a lot of you're doing some book tours now, some book signings and everything like that.
I just started with the book signings. Book tours, should do that probably in the beginning of the year.
Cool. And Anthony also mentioned to me earlier, if anybody for our callers, one of our lucky callers, he's willing to give away a copy of the book, which is fantastic. That's very nice of you. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Cool. So what is Anthony Raimondo up to today? It's Christmas season. What are you doing? You shopping, you hustling, you bustling, or you pushing the book? What are we doing?
Oh, I'm sitting in the car right now talking to you through the phone over my car. I'm in Manhattan right now.
Oh, you're in gridlock. That's what you are.
No, I'm in the theater district. I got the car parked.
Oh, okay. What are you doing over there?
I just came out of Junior's. We had something to eat in Junior's restaurant.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. So, we went over a lot of this already, so I'm trying to think of something I didn't ask you.
Well, Joanne, I got a question. Why doesn't Anthony tell us? Tell us the difference between like an Italian family and a Sicilian family. What? Because you said there's a difference. What is the difference?
Oh, good question.
Sicilians got a different way of cooking. They got a different sense of values, and they believe in different things. You're still Italian, but you're from Sicily. There's a different area.
So you're Sicilian then?
Yes.
Okay. So now the question I had for you was, now a lot of the people that you write about in the book are dead, obviously.
Yeah.
What about their offspring, their family? Have they reached out to you in any way? Have you had any consequences with them? I mean,
when I was doing the book, all my friends that were still alive said, just don't make us look like monsters in the book.
Mm.
And that was it. They all passed away. Mm. They all died in prison.
Right. So you're not
Anthony, isn't it true that the mops has basically left the family out of everything, the other person's family? They didn't go after the family at all, the children or the wives, right? It's basically if they were and if you did, that was like really against the mob law that you're not supposed to do that.
Everything changed. It's not like it was from years ago when I was coming up.
Yeah, I know. I didn't mean that they were going to come after you or anything like that. I just mean, like, how did they receive the book, their siblings or whoever, like the wives, whoever left? I mean, how did they receive the book? I mean, are they happy with what you wrote? I mean, did you have a problem with that? People saying, oh, you better not write that book. When you write that book, I'm coming after you. I mean, stuff like that. You're going to reveal all this shit.
Yeah, but see, what I talked about, really, basically everything is about me. Like I said, when my friends told me to write, do what you want to do, I said, no problem. I wrote the book. Their families have no problem with me, none of them.
Right.
Besides, they're all too busy counting their money. What are they going to start in with me for? Because they know me, I'll just go underground. I'll disappear, but there'll be some problems once I disappear. Let's put it that way.
Oh, you know what I wanted to ask you? I you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. What'd you think about Gotti taking out the neighbor for running over Frankie? I mean, it was an accident. You know, I understand that, he was furious.
I don't know if it was an accident or not. I really can't
say it's an accident. I thought it was a car. The kid was out in the street and he hit him by accident, you know?
But, anything is possible. But then again, was the guy paying attention? Was the guy drunk? What was wrong with the guy?
It was a car accident. He hit the. He didn't deliberately go and kill the kid. It was a car accident.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so.
What would John have done? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, yeah, okay.
Me, personally, the guy would, I would cut his legs off and his hands.
I know we would all want revenge. Obviously, you know, you lose your child to a car accident, but it was a car accident. You know,
the guy should have been more, listen to me. First of all, it happened on the block. The guy knows this kid's on the block. He should have been more alert.
Right.
I remember when the kid died. I remember when he died. The guy should have been more alert. You're coming down the block where you know this kid's running in and out of the street all day long. And you got to remember, the guy wasn't doing the speed limit. He was going over the speed limit also.
Well, see, I don't know the story. All I'm going for the after effect of what happened there.
Yeah, well,
it
depends on who you talk to. If you're talking to, like, the guy's family, he was doing the speed limit. No, he wasn't, because they even said when he hit the brakes, after he hit the kid, he hit the brakes, and you see skid marks. If he was driving the speed limit, he wouldn't have made no skid marks.
Right. Now, have you seen the, what's the new movie, The Irishman? Have you seen it?
It's a lot of bullshit. Three-fourths of it is bullshit. And it's boring.
I haven't seen it, but is De Niro and all those guys, are they playing the Irish Mafia or are they playing Italian Mafia?
They're playing both. The Irishman is supposed to be a true story about this guy who supposedly was around Jimmy Hoffa and he was around Buffalino, supposedly.
Mm.
All right? But some of the stories he has in there is bullshit, and I know that for a fact. I know that for a fact that three of the stories is bullshit.
Oh, is it based on a true story? Is it supposedly based on a true
story? It's supposed to be this guy's life story.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know anything about the movie, unfortunately. I haven't seen it.
The guy is not correct with, there's three major things in there, four major things that he's not correct with. He's totally bullshit with.
Hey, Joanne, we got Artie on the line. Artie's on the line.
Oh, great. All right, great. Hey, Artie. Hey, folks. Welcome, Artie Pasquale, to Applause Radio Show. Hi, Artie. How are you?
Well, I got a bad call. I sound like Don Corleone here, but
I'm sorry you don't feel well. Thanks for still joining us. Artie on the phone. Also on the line, we have Anthony Raimondo. He is the author of When the Bullet Hits the Bone. He's a real mobster from New York, and he has this new book out, and it's based on the Lufthansa heist, the killing, not the killing, but the assassination of Pope John Paul I. And so, Anthony, if you don't mind, we're gonna just talk to Artie about his career first before we get into the comparison of the two worlds, okay? So, Artie. Artie, a young Rhode Island guy, really into sports.
Yeah, I want to just say hello to Anthony. Congratulate him on his book first.
Oh, that's nice of you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Artie. Thank you.
Now, Artie, you're a young Rhode Island guy. You're really into sports, but you had the bug for acting. So you put it aside.
I grew up in an Italian section called Federal Hill in Providence, Rhode Island. It's a real Italian section, old-fashioned Italian section, yeah. And kind of like where I got my roots, you know.
And now, are you Sicilian as well, or?
No. My family is from Caserta, outside of Naples.
Oh, okay. Anthony's Sicilian, so that's what we're trying to figure out.
Me and Anthony can get along, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure. So, So The Sopranos was, I guess, one of your biggest role at the time, no?
Yeah. You know, it's amazing what that show's done. You know, I was one of the lucky guys. I mean, really lucky. I mean, a lot of great actors, better actors than me, never get on the show. And we just finished that Sopranos con, you know, over here.
How was that? I missed it. I apologize. I wanted to come and see you.
It was unbelievable. I mean, I just can't even describe it to you. There were 10,000 people that came in 2 days.
Wow.
People from all over the world. You know, we had our own little kiosk. There were like 45 actors from the show.
Wow.
And people would show up. I'd say, hi, how are you? Where are you from? And one person said, I'm from the Netherlands. Another group said, I'm from Australia.
Wow.
Else from Hungary. I said, you came here just, you know, you're going to spend the week in New York? They said, no, just for The Sopranos.
Wow.
So it's like
amazing.
It's absolutely amazing how this has affected, you know, all over the world. It's
right,
crazy.
Right, right. Well, the Sopranos had an effect on me because you did a lot of filming where I grew up. I grew up in the Harrison area, so you guys did a lot of filming in Kearney and Newark and all that. So,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So that's why I was into the show. I actually got HBO just for that purpose, and when it went off the air, I got rid of HBO.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people did that. A lot of people.
I had no need for it after that.
I remember in Harrison, they had like 15,000 people lined around the streets, you know?
Oh, I know. I remember that when they did the auditions for the show. They did it at the high school. And I lived towards the other end of town. And I remember, I mean, it's only a 1 square mile town. It's small. And people couldn't even park the damn cars. I mean, the line was wrapped around blocks just to go in for it, to be an extra. So must have been an amazing, amazing time for you to do the show. How did it feel? I don't want to say how did it feel, but you must have been devastated when they killed you off because things were going so well.
Yeah, well, you know, well, thank God it was the next to the last episode, you know. But everybody would look, you know, when you have the read through, you get around this table and everybody would sit around and you would read the actual episode. No, nobody's sitting in any particular area, but you would read it. But before you went there, you signed a little, you know, a statement that you wouldn't say anything about the script. And everybody looked at the back of the script once they got it to see if their name was still there, you know?
Right, right, to see if they get
And I remember when my turn came, Gandolfini came over to me. My character was Bert Gervaisi. So
yeah.
He came over to me and he said, nice knowing you, Bert. So when he said that, I looked at the script and I saw that was the end of it for me. But it was,
so,
you know, it's considered to be a real good dramatic death scene, you know.
Yeah. So and you guys were truly like a family on set. I mean, not just, you know, how they call it the family, but you guys were truly like a family on set, right?
Yeah. I mean, and he was a wonderful, wonderful guy. Just a great guy. He treated everybody the same. He would take time out and just talk to you. How's the family? You know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, after The Sopranos, what'd you go on to after that?
Well, I did a bunch of movies. A nice little movie I did that's, you can get it on demand now. It's called The Brooklyn Banker. As a matter of fact, Federico Castelluccio directed it.
Oh, cool.
And in the movie, if your listeners want to see a nice movie, it's a mob movie.
Yeah,
but also
with
David Proval, who played Richie Aprile, Arthur Nascarella, he was in The Sopranos. Paul Sorvino was in it. It had a great cast. It's called The Brooklyn Banker. And I've done a bunch of other stuff since then. You know, I did a nice little play that Vincent Pastore directed, as a matter of fact.
Nice. And so your role models growing up was Edward G. Robinson, John Wayne, and James Cagney.
Oh, I
like
all those guys. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I grew up with the cowboy and Indian stuff, too. You know, Hopalong Cassidy and
the Western,
But I remember George Raft and Edward G. Robinson and Richard Widmark, and it was black and white, you know.
Yeah,
I love that stuff. I love that stuff.
When did the last will and test of embezzlement come out with Mickey Rooney?
That's a great documentary. You got some. I was lucky to do that. I did all of the narration for it.
The reason I'm asking is because I saw you narrating about how the elderly are getting ripped off, and
that's about 70 years ago. But it got a lot of notoriety. It was a true story of how seniors get taken advantage of.
Right. And I saw you just recently visited a young man in the hospital with ALS. That was wonderful. I guess he's a big Sopranos fan.
Yeah, you know, me and Danny Grimaldi, who played Patsy, we went up to this guy. This fellow's in a hospital. He's severely suffering from Lou Gehrig disease, you know.
Yeah.
And and we kind of surprised him, and he was
nice.
It was one of the most emotional times in my life, to be honest with you. Danny and I arrived. He started crying, and we started crying. We gave him some pictures, and he couldn't speak, you know. So
yeah,
we just nodded his head. It was really
very
really
sad.
Emotional.
Very sad. Very sad.
Yeah, I mean,
very nice
stuff
of you.
Like that.
Yeah. Well, I do want to give my condolences on the loss of Danny Aiello to you as well. I know you were a close friend. And
going tomorrow to his service. It's going to be at the Riverside Memorial Church in New York in Manhattan.
I'm very sorry. Yes.
He's
very talented guy. Great. Nice guy, too. And you were going to do an off-Broadway play with him, directed by him. So now what happened with that?
Well, you know what happened? It's going to be, I thought I hit a home run with this. It was going to be his directorial debut. And me and his son, Ricky Aiello, were going to play the two guys, and there were two girls. And I went up to, it was called, David Rabe played called Those the River Keeps. And the David Rabe, these playwrights, you got to do it the way they want it. You know, you can't fool around with the writing. So anyway, I would go to Danny's house or Ricky Aiello's house 2-3 times a week, and I memorized as best I could, like 55-60 pages. And then all of a sudden, Danny, after a few months, I did this like about 3 months, and then after that, Danny decided he wasn't going to do it because he was going to do a one-man show in New York called Capone. And I really feel bad that he never got it. You know, he had the investors, but they just couldn't pull it off. He was going to do a Capone when Capone was in prison, suffering from syphilis. And I saw him rehearse a few times. He was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Sure.
I mean, he's one of the best actors I've ever seen.
He is a really great actor. I'd say he'll sorely be missed in the acting community, and fans will miss him terribly too.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that the production of the play was squashed prior to his passing. So.
They had the screenplay written a couple of times. They were going to do a movie based on his book. Mm. You know, he's had a book out. So we read for that a couple of times, and they've been fooling around with changing it. So none of this came to fruition, unfortunately. Maybe
his son will, follow through to live his dream that he wanted to do, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, he lost his son a few years ago, his one son, Danny, D3, they called him. He was a very big stunt guy.
Oh, really?
He died when he was in his 50s, early 50s, of leukemia, of pancreatic cancer.
Oh, God. Oh,
yeah,
God.
So the family's, you know, and then Danny, you know, even though he's young, I think he's 86 years old, but he's a young
He man. Was 86? Oh, my God, he looked fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. But a great guy, great family.
Yeah. So what are you working on now? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, unfortunately, a lot of these people are either sick or passing away, or you know, people are living longer, but they're also suffering longer. Also, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it. So, but I know you're working on a movie now. What are you working on now? Can you discuss it or no?
Yeah, I got a couple of little things, you know. One is going to be a comedy called All Mobbed Up with John Gallagher's directing. It's with Pastore and Tony Darrow, you know, the usual suspects, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing a couple of some podcasts. I did another film called, I forgot the name of it, but I got a couple of things, you know.
You must be exhausted. No wonder you're sick. You did Chiller in October. You did SopranoCon last month. And now you're in the middle of all that. You're doing all this running around from set to set. No wonder you're sick.
Yeah, well, SopranoCon. Well, I'm not doing a lot of running around set to set. SopranoCon, what took a lot out of me was I was in Italy for like 6 days, and I got off the plane, and I thought I still was in Italy, and I went right to SopranoCon, knocked me out for like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, you must have jet lag and all that. So,
You
don't mind, I'd like to bring Anthony back on to discuss Anthony says that a lot of the shows that a lot of episodes that were done on the Sopranos were based on experience he had. So I was wondering if you could, if Anthony tells him, if you know if that's true or whatnot.
Well,
Artie.
Yeah.
Artie, you there?
Yeah.
Listen, you remember one of the episodes where Johnny Sack, he was in prison and he got the furlough to go to his daughter's wedding?
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
You remember that one, Artie?
Yes, I do.
All right. When I was away, I was in Danbury with Vinny DiNapoli. He had about 7 months to go. They gave him a furlough where he paid for the marshals to go to his daughter's wedding. They gave him an 8-hour furlough. And Johnny Sack, they did the same thing. Plus, the girl who played Johnny Sack's daughter, and if you looked at Vinny DiNapoli's daughter, they look like sisters. Same height, weight, hair coloring, and everything. That's a little too much of a coincidence.
Mm.
Yeah, well, you know, David Chase, he grew up in suburban New Jersey. And, you know, I don't know if
you're from New York.
I don't know if you know anything about
from
Essex,
New York.
Essex County, New Jersey, huh?
Well, Vinny's from New York. He's not from Jersey.
No, but David
Chase, the writer.
Well, that's enough.
He got a lot of characters I'll give you another one.
Anthony. The Sopranos were based on a Jersey family mob, not a New York mob. Am I correct?
Yeah, I know that,
Artie.
But you don't understand something. You don't say, it was based on a Jersey mob. But you got things in there that happened in New York. So
Put
it into the story. But I'll give you another one. You remember the story where Tony's daughter's sitting in the restaurant. And she had some, like, she was drinking an acre, she had some cream on her face. And the guy said how he could put some more on her face. And then Tony went in and broke his teeth on the pipe.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. I had a club in Deseret, and I was with a girl at that time, Bridget. And some guy walked in and said something to her. I wasn't there yet. When I got there, the bartender, Uncle Sam, told me what happened. I took the guy in the back of the club, smoked him, and I broke his teeth right on the pipe just like that.
Oh,
I had a lot of wise guys used to go. And I'll go you one better. You remember the thing with the Jewish guy when he was trying to get away from his son-in-law it's called a get for his daughter?
Yes,
and the
I
kid
know.
Wouldn't leave the son-in-law? That was me and a guy named Morty Sorkin who lived on Avenue M in Brooklyn. And that was back in the 70s.
Well, I'm sure he had a lot of story. I gave him... Now, I don't know, very few people know this, but the Artie Bucco character.
Yeah.
You know, the Artie Bucco character. When I was in Providence, my uncle had a restaurant in Federal Hill. It's a real tidy section. And all the wise guys used to go in there, and a guy used to go in every day. I told David Chase this story 30 years ago when I was in his company. And anyway, wise guys would go in there. Like at 1 o'clock, this guy was supposed to get shot. So...
Right.
They didn't want to shoot him in the restaurant because the restaurant would get a bad reputation, and my aunt and uncle, nobody would go there. So they tried to get my aunt and uncle to get out of town. They wanted to give them a trip. My aunt said, once you're indebted to these guys, So what did they do? They blew up my uncle's restaurant. This is the first episode of The Sopranos. Tony Soprano blows up his best friend's restaurant. He did it as a favor to him. This is how these guys think. And so he could collect the insurance. And what happened? They shot the guy down the street in another restaurant. So it's David Chase, and he named Artie Bucco. He named the character Artie after me, but Bucco is David Chase's grandfather's name. So whenever I see John Ventimiglia, who plays Artie Bucco, we hug and kiss because he lasted the whole show. So Chase did take some ideas from different places. That's true.
But I remember you telling me that story before.
But who brought him these ideas? Because with Vinny DiNapoli, that was in the prison. All right? Yeah. Well, he was in my club, Desiree, and the other deal with the Jewish rabbi, that was on Avenue M. Now, that was in the 70s. And the thing with when I broke the guy's teeth, that was in the 80s before I went away. That was 1983 I did it to the guy. And that was before I went away. And there's a couple other things in there also.
I don't know what Gay was doing, but I mean, he did a lot of research, I know. He picked everybody's brain and whatever.
Yeah, but somebody had to tell him about the things that I done.
Yeah, some guy.
Well, it could be coincidental as well. Like
I know some guys. Even
there's five things. Listen to me. There's five things in that show, and there were five of them are coincidental. I don't think so.
As a matter of fact, there are a couple of guys that have filed suit against him a few years ago, claiming that the story was their story. You know, so I don't know whatever happened there.
Well, David Chase was—he wasn't Italian, was he? Or no, right? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, his name really was De Cesare at one time, you know.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So he is Italian, okay. So he is familiar with the New Jersey mob, so
to some degree. There's a whole section of down near Newark.
Listen, let me tell you something. The head guy in New Jersey was a guy named Rayo. It was the old man Rayo. He was the big boss in New Jersey. Half the things that you have on that show based on, quote-unquote, a New Jersey mob isn't so. That most of that stuff was based on New York. I knew the old man Rayo very well. I knew him very, very well. And half of that stuff about the New York, the Jersey mob never took place in Jersey. A lot of that stuff was from New York. A lot of those stories are New York stories. Listen to what I'm telling you. I knew the guy. Go check with the FBI on me and you can find everything out. I know the stories.
Artie, Anthony's book is called When the Bullet Hits the Bone, and in there he talks about how he kind of helped the assassination of Pope John Paul I, was involved in the La Stenta heist, some things with Mayor Koch and stuff like that. I mean, how, I know you're Italian, well, I don't want to, how
love,
Italian
love,
are you? How Italian are you
title.
In regard to the mob?
Well, you know, I tell people there's no such thing, you know, but anyway. I mean, people, you know, they assume because you can, like, I can speak Italian fairly well, but they assume because you look Italian, you're this, you're that. They say, what are you, in a mafia? You know, I just tell them, hey, I tell them there's no such thing. Let them think whatever they want.
You're in the garbage business or construction,
let them
right?
Let them think whatever they want to think. But, Anthony, I like the title of the book. That's a cool title.
Yeah. I made the title up.
Yeah, it's a good is the book out now?
Yeah, the book's out. Yeah, the book is out, definitely.
Yeah, can you get it
book
in the
is
book
definitely
form?
Out.
Well, Artie, Anthony,
I got a podcast out also.
Yeah, Anthony's giving away a copy of the book. Would you like a copy?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to read it.
Oh, cool. Well, give me your address, and I'll have Artie, I'll have Anthony send the book to me, and I'll ship it out to you.
All right, I appreciate it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Good. This way.
Are you, Anthony? Are you going to any like bookstores to show it, or are you just going to get it online?
No. You go to Barnes and Noble, and all of them have the book. I'm going to start doing some signings.
Yeah, that's great.
I got a couple
more
radio shows that I'm doing. I'm going to be on the TV after the first of the year, and I got a podcast out now on episode 10. It's called The Enforcer. It's my podcast.
What's the podcast about?
It's about me. It's about the book, some of the things in the book. But it's actually me doing the talking, and I get into a lot more detail in quite a few things.
Mm.
There's certain things in the podcast I don't have in the book.
Mm.
Yeah.
Can
it's a good idea.
Something?
Podcasts are, like, really popular now. I did a couple myself.
Can you share something on with
that's
us tonight
to
that you've shared on the podcast that's not in the book?
I'm doing one now. It's a comedy called it's a play on words. It's called Gavoni Produce. You know, like, you know, a caffone.
Yeah.
You know what a caffone is, right?
Oh, cool.
They spell it with a G. Gavoni Produce. It's kind of a goofy thing, but it's fun. You know,
uh-huh.
It's easy to do.
You do it by yourself, Marty, or do you have other people on?
Yeah, a couple of other people, yeah.
Is it sort of like a scripted thing, or?
Yeah, it's scripted, but a lot of it is ad-libbed. A lot of it is improv also, you know. I'm sure Anthony's just like that, too.
Yeah.
You know, but it's good.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Anthony, can you share with us?
I better apologize. I'm feeling shitty here. Oh, can I say shitty on the air? I don't know if I can.
Of course, you can say anything you want. Anthony,
I said worse than that on the air. Don't worry about it.
Anthony, can you share with us a story that you've shared on your podcast that is not in the book?
Yeah, one of the stories what's not in the book or what's in the book?
Well, what have you said on your podcast that is not in the book? Oh, just one story, or if you don't mind.
Sorry, let me think now. Let me back up. Well, there was one thing on the podcast where I was going after this guy. They called him Tommy Pigeons. He had a pigeon coop up on Court Street at 161 Court Street.
Mm.
And what happened, I got the contract that I was supposed to go and take, and, you know, just give him a beating. In other words, that's what it was, because he was fucking up in the neighborhood.
Mm.
So I went up to get him, and this guy started running. He was like a fucking gazelle. He was running. I'm running across the roof after him, and my cousin Leo had a funeral parlor called Cobble Hill Funeral Parlor on Court Street.
Mm.
But when my cousin neglected to tell me that, he was doing reservations, and he only had, like, plyboard on the roof. I ran across his roof. I went right through the roof. But right through the roof, first floor, second floor, I landed in something that was, like, I thought it was Jell-O or something. I didn't know what it was. So my cousin was with me. My cousin Mac was with me. He comes in. He comes crawling through the cables that are in the building, turns the light on. There was a body that was on the table that they did an autopsy on with the Y cut. When I hit him with my feet, I busted him open.
Oh.
I have formaldehyde all over my feet. Make a long story short, they had to take me to the hospital. I spent 4 days in the hospital because I had the burns on my feet. Anyway, I go back a week and a half later, and I catch this guy on LaQueer Street on the roof with the pigeons, right?
Mm.
I go to hit him. This guy's kicking me, jumping up and down, throwing punches. I was like, I'm fighting a fucking octopus. I've never seen a guy fight like this in my entire life. Every time I'm hitting him, he's throwing two back. So I says, you know what? I just got to go full force. I just grabbed this guy. I hit him so hard. When I knocked him back, I picked up a pipe. I broke his both legs.
Oh,
P.S., I go back down to 3rd Avenue, and I tell the guy, I says, everything was done. So he says to me, Jimmy tells me, he goes, what happened to you? I said, I got into a fight with this guy. I never seen a guy fight like this in my life. I thought it was a fucking octopus. So he turns around and tells my cousin, didn't you tell him? He says, tell me what? The guy's a fourth-degree black belt in two different styles of karate.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I says, you got to be freaking kidding me. He said, no, the guy was a black belt in two different styles of karate because he owed us $60,000. So his brother came, like 2 days later, brought $60,000 plus another $20,000 for me because he didn't want me coming back onto the roof.
There you go.
What do you think of that story? What do you think of that story, Artie?
$20,000 for me not to go back on the roof was fine. And he paid up his debt. He paid up the $60,000 that he owed.
Oh, my God.
I used to raise pigeons, but nobody ever came up to my roof, though. Joanne, you got to understand, Joanne, in the city, a lot of people, raising pigeons was like a popular hobby, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, back into what, the 50s?
Yeah,
going back into the 70s. When this
70s. Well, the reason I say 50s, because I'm thinking of Lords of Flatbush, the movie Lords of Flatbush.
Well, you know, I'm in my 70s, so I'm a product of the 50s, really. It's in the 60s. But raising pigeons was my grandfather owned a chicken store, the old-fashioned chicken store. He wanted to kill my pigeons, wanted to sell my pigeons.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, if things go bad, you don't have nothing to eat, you got the pigeons.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And my grandfather, this is a funny story. My grandfather, when I was a kid, we used to have the coal down. The coal was delivered downstairs in a three-tenement house, you know.
Yeah.
So he give me a white turkey, and he'd say, okay, now, Arturo, I want you to take care of this turkey every day. You feed it. I said, okay, Papa. So I feed it. He come home, and he couldn't hardly speak any English. He said, you feed the turkey today? I said, yeah, I feed the turkey. Anyway, to make a long story short, Thanksgiving comes, and I said to him, I said, Papa, where's the turkey? He said, oh, I had to let him go. He went with his family, you know, because he was getting too big. He missed his family. So little did I know it was on the kitchen. It was on the kitchen table for Thanksgiving.
That's what you're eating. Your pet.
Yeah, I was feeding my pet and getting him fat.
Oh my God. Oh Jesus. Oh,
but Anthony, I grew up in Providence in New England. The Petriaca family was a big family. I don't know if you know.
Oh, Raymond. You talk about Raymond and that.
I grew up with the father. I was with the son not too long ago. But my father grew up with,
right.
with the father, Raymond Sr. And I used to hang around.
Yeah, Raymond.
You know,
I
used to, you know, I used to hang around at my uncle's restaurant. You know, you keep your mouth shut and you just sit. My father grew up with him. And my brother went to school with Raymond Jr. I was just with him. He was at a Sopranos thing up in Rhode Island. And Raymond Jr. was there.
Right.
Oh, they did a Sopranos thing in Rhode Island, too?
Yeah,
it was kind of, well, one of the guys that put the Sopranos con together is from Rhode Island. So we did a little background and a little interview. And, you know, they had a little party, and I was up there with Federico and some people. But Raymond Jr. was there.
Yeah.
You ever run into Little Mickey up there?
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, I know a few of the names. Yeah, I know who you mean, yes.
Yeah, Little Nicky, I used to see him a lot because I had a business. Me and my cousin had a business going back and forth, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and all up and down the coast over there. We had a bookmaking business years ago up there.
Hmm.
Well, Petriaca was the man.
Do the DeRamos ring a bell in Rhode Island?
Yeah, I know. I know a guy. I went to school with a guy named Joe DeRamo, but DeRamo's not... It's a popular name, not too popular, but
that's true.
There's a few DeRamos.
I have a family member that was married to a DeRamo in Rhode Island.
Well, Providence is a big, especially Federal Hill, this section of Federal Hill.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big Italian section.
And who would have thought Rhode Island had a mafia there? I would never think that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Like we had a week or two ago when Anthony was on before. We had on Ron Piccolo, I believe his name was Ron Piccolo, and he wrote about the Jewish mafia, which I had never heard of, and that's my ignorance because I only know the Italian and Russian mafia. I never heard of a Jewish mafia, but that's just me. You know, I'm just not.
Yeah, I mean they had the Irish mob too. You know, but
did you see The Irishman, Art? What do you think of it?
Well, you know, it's funny. I had a role in that movie, and what happened was I ended up with open heart surgery. I had quadruple bypass.
Geez.
So I couldn't, obviously, I couldn't do it, you know?
Right. Oh, God.
But, I mean, the movie, you know, the movie, to me, it's a little too long. You know, everybody says it's too long.
It's boring. Let's be serious, audience.
I thought De Niro was De Niro, you know. Joe Pesci, I thought... stole the show.
And then, but you got to remember something too, Artie. If you look at some of them stories that this guy supposedly said he done, that was bullshit because a lot of them stories never happened the way he said they did.
Mm. Yeah,
in other words,
when
Albert Anastasia got killed, it never happened that way. When Joe Gallo got killed, it wasn't that way either.
Mm.
The guy made himself like he was the centerpiece of it all. He wasn't. So I don't know who this guy was. And then he said with Tony Pro, you have, what's his face, the union leader, what the hell is his name that disappeared? What the fuck's his name?
Hoffa.
You got scenes where Jimmy Hoffa is telling Tony Pro to go fuck himself, yelling and cursing at him, and then you know the scene where he grabs him by the table? That's all bullshit.
Yeah.
I knew Tony Pro very well and his brother Nunzi. Nunzi and me were on a case together. If he would, in real life, if Jimmy Hoffa would ever done that to Tony Pro, Tony would have killed him right there at the table. Wouldn't have thought twice about it.
Well,
he would have cut his throat right there.
He's long gone. Where is Hoffa? Tell me. Anybody know? Where's Hoffa?
Well, that's the other thing. They
You'll
try to make
find.
It seem like they try to make it seem like it's in Detroit. He's not in Detroit. You know, I mean, if any place.
Is he in Giant Stadium? Is it true? Is he in Giant Stadium?
Well,
no.
He's not. I don't think he's in Detroit. Put it that way. He's not in Detroit. I would. You know, why Detroit? Mm. If any place, the East Coast.
There's nothing
someplace.
Left to him.
Oh, he's definitely somewhere over here on the East Coast. That's for sure.
No, he is.
You know. Who knows where
there's
he
nothing
is?
Left.
He's dead, though, right? We can say he's dead.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely
dead.
Yeah,
he's dead for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, the movie was too long. They could have cut 20 minutes out of the movie.
Yeah.
You
I could have
cut an hour out of it. You wouldn't have missed anything.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. I have actually a friend of mine is from the town where I grew up in, again, Harrison, Artie. She did the set design and I believe the costume as well. And she may be coming on the show. We may have her on. She's won some awards for set design and whatnot. But she worked on The Irishman. So we're probably going to have her on sometime soon to discuss the movie. But,
you know, did you remember Artie, the Barber family from Harrison? Barber?
Me? The Barbers? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I knew them. Artie Barber. He died. Artie.
Yeah, he was the principal of the high school.
Oh, that was the father. Yeah, and that was Artie Barber.
Yeah, the
father
was the principal. Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Confessori, Confessori family.
The who? Pastore?
Confessori.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Confessori. Who was the mayor there?
Oh, the Confessori,
like
yes. I know Freddie Confessori. Yeah, his father was the barber. And
I think
Freddie
the mayor was a guy named Rogers. He was like a mayor.
Rogers, The mayor, the longest running mayor in history. He's actually was in the Guinness Book of World Records
That town is all South Americans now, right?
Well, the town has changed in a big way. They've got, besides people-wise, they've built it up. You won't even recognize it if you go down by the PATH train. You have no idea where
They're all from South America, Kearney and Harrison. They used to be Irish and Scottish and Portuguese.
Yep.
A lot of towns are like that. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Hey, Artie.
Yeah.
You remember a club? You remember a club called the Branch Bell in Jersey? The Ramapo, there's another place, the Ramapo Inn.
Oh, yeah, the Ramapo Inn,
another place called the Marshmallow.
Yeah. I remember the Ramapo Inn.
Yeah, you remember that place? And now we're going back with that place. That was a wild place.
Now, where are you located now, Ann? Where are you?
I'm in Brooklyn.
Oh, you're in Brooklyn?
Yeah, but I've traveled all over. I used to go up to Jersey all the time years ago.
Yeah.
And that Ramapo Inn was a wild joint, that place. It was very, very good place, but it was a little wild.
Well, I got to ask you both something. I asked this question before on my old show that I used to be on whenever we had Italian folks on. Now, don't get mad at me. Is it sauce or gravy?
It's whatever my mother called it.
It's sauce, right?
Sauce, gravy, something you pull over potatoes and stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah,
all
right.
So we got a real Italian, Sicilian mafioso telling me it's sauce. All right.
Sauce. Some people say sauce is brown. Some people say sauce you put over meat. I don't know.
Right.
Well, someone called in to say, what did they say? They said gravy was when it had meat in it. Like if the pasta had like maybe meatballs or something, then they called it gravy. But if it did not have meat in it, then they called it sauce. That's what somebody called in to say. But
yeah, like at Thanksgiving,
true,
Thanksgiving, you
tell them they must be
gravy, right?
Tell them they must be counterfeit Italian.
Yeah.
Oh God! All right, so, Mr. Raimondo, where can folks catch you anytime soon, and where can they get your book?
Well, right now, if you get the book, it's at Barnes & Noble's and all the brick-and-mortar stores. And in January, I'll be doing book signings right now in Barnes & Noble. I'll be going in Staten Island, Manhattan, downtown Brooklyn on Court Street. I'll be doing the whole circuit with Barnes & Noble. And like I said, my podcast is called The Enforcer. You can get it on iTunes, Spotify, it's on all the major networks.
And you have a website as well?
I just got my Facebook pages.
Okay, and Artie, how about you? Where can people see you or check anything out that you're doing out right now?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get rid of people, to be honest with you, but I'm telling you.
You're trying to get rid of people? Anthony's trying to whack some people here. Get them out of the way.
this Facebook. This
you got to do your own work.
I'm on Facebook, and email me, rdp21@verizon.net. But I'm on Facebook. I don't spend a lot of time on it, but you know.
All right. John,
I got two Facebook pages, Joanne. One is under Anthony Raimondo, and the other one is under Antonio Salvatore Raimondi. I'm on GangsterCigars.com is my website.
Okay, cool.
It's Anthony at GangsterCigars.com.
All right. John, anything for the guys?
No, I'm just fascinated by the conversation. It's having a real mobster and one who played a mobster on TV.
I thought that'd be great. A nice twist tonight, right? Wasn't that a nice twist tonight?
That's great.
We've brought so many people together on this show. It's amazing. Did you guys know that we brought together Dean Martin's daughter, Dina Martin, and Clayton Moore's daughter, Dawn Moore's daughter, together? They were both big fans of each other's dads, and so were their parents, were big fans of each other's, and they wound up becoming friends, being on our show. So I think that's cool. And who knows? You guys might. Who knows? You know.
I see a book in the future.
Yeah, but Artie, you're definitely getting a copy of the book, right, Nan?
Yeah, well, no. Artie, just get me your address. I'll mail it directly to you. There's no problem with that. Hello?
Art?
Hope he didn't die.
No, he didn't die. Actually, I guess Artie wasn't feeling well. That's why I was going to end the show a little early to let him go, but I guess we lost him. So, Artie Pasquale, thank you so much for joining us, honey. You feel better? It was a pleasure talking to you. Always a pleasure to run into you. You're a wonderful guy.
Thank you, Artie.
Yes, take care. So, Anthony, I want to wish you...
Yeah, we lost Artie.
Anthony, I want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas, and thank you again
thank
for coming
you and
back.
Yours.
And I thought it'd be a nice little thing for the two of you to get on together.
Yeah, it definitely was.
And good luck with the book, of course. And I'll get Artie's address, and we'll send that book on over to him. I'm sure he'll enjoy it.
Yeah, no problem. Definitely be my pleasure to send him one.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Anthony Raimondo, author of When the Bullet Hits the Bone. Why don't you try and catch it? I'm sure it's very, very good and interesting if you're into the mobster movies, mafia. I am, however, I just don't read very much. But I'm sure it's fantastic, Anthony. I'm sure it's fantastic.
Joe, can you send me a link to this broadcast tonight?
I've been trying to come back.
Oh, there he is.
Artie came back.
Yeah, I got disconnected somehow. I've been listening to you. I just got disconnected somehow. I don't know.
No, well, actually, I was trying to end the show a little early tonight because you're not feeling well, hon. So I
didn't
want to keep
you too late. That's all right. That's
okay. You know, so.
That's all right. Listen, I really enjoyed it, and I wish Anthony wish the best with that book. And good health to everybody. I wish you good health.
Thank you, Artie. Hope you're good with your movie.
Yes, Artie, and thank you, Artie, for joining us. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and it's a pleasure. You know I love you, and thank you for joining us. And I always love running into you. I'll get the information for you guys to send the book to you, and you can enjoy Anthony's book.
All right. Yeah. Yes. Definitely.
Great.
Stay in touch. Thanks for
thank you both for joining us, guys. Merry Christmas to both
of
you.
Thank you, Artie.
Thank you,
Anthony. Thank you.
Take care,
you're welcome,
guys.
John.
Good luck. Okay, bye-bye.
Right.
Bye-bye
now.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bonus up, bonus.
All right. John.
All right, who's on our show for Sunday, Joanne?
Well,
here's a little thing.
I'm a little confused. I got to go through my email. It's been a little crazy. So let's see. What is today? Today is the 18th, right? So the 22nd. 18th. Today's the 18th. So the 22nd, we have Michael Cole. Do you guys remember Michael Cole? He was the white guy in the Mod Squad. And he's got a book out called I Was the White Guy. And it's funny because whenever you talk about the movie, the show, you say, you know, the white guy. So it's so apropos. And our other guest, I'm not sure yet. We have to wait on that. We will have another guest joining us as well. And then we have actually, I don't know if you recall, we have to do a show on the 23rd as well. Not the 23rd.
Yeah, it's the 23rd. It's a Monday.
Wait a minute. How did I agree to
Christmas
that?
Christmas Eve is the 25th or 24th. You had the woman from It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh,
did
wait
you
a minute.
Have her lined
yes,
up?
Yes, yes. Okay, I'm sorry. The 22nd. On the 22nd, we have Michael Cole, and we also have Carolyn. Oh, geez. Carolyn. Carolyn, I don't have her last name right now. I apologize, folks. It's in my email. She played Zuzu in It's a Wonderful Life. I don't remember if you're Zuzu, the Zuzu pedals, when Jimmy Stewart, you know, he comes home and Zuzu's sick, and she got sick because she was trying to hide the petals of her rose. She didn't want her rose to die. So she took her coat off to cover the rose. Well, this actress, Carolyn, God, I got her last name. Carolyn, I apologize. Don't worry, I will get it right. But we have Michael Paul and also Carolyn from It's a Wonderful Life. However, we are supposed to do on Saturday, aren't we supposed to do a Saturday with my...
No, there was a Monday with the person from Brazil or from Spain.
No, that was supposed to be it was supposed to be Saturday. It's a Saturday at 12. I gotta check my email.
Check your schedule. Check your schedule.
Yeah, I will. I'm sorry. It's been a little crazy. But definitely the 22nd. Michael Cole and Carolyn from It's a Wonderful Life, and we have coming up on us. We're doing a Saturday show. Believe it or not, at 12 o'clock, because our guest is from Spain, and her name is Caroline, and I can't think of her last name, unfortunately, because I wasn't ready to say that who we had on. But she was on the Bugaloos. You guys remember that show, the Bugaloos? So that should be pretty cool. And January is definitely shaping up to be a great month. We have some fantastic guests coming up for you. Let me get my information together. And we will post on Facebook and whatnot for you of who's coming up. And John, forgive me for that. And I hope our guests forgive me for that as well. But again, great show. We had a great time with the guys, Artie Pasquale and Anthony Raimondo. Check out his book, Anthony Raimondo, When the Bullet Hits the Bone, if you want to hear real stories about the mafia and experiences he had, and he doesn't hold back, guys. Trust me, he does not hold back. And Artie Pasquale, he's in a lot of stuff. And you just, what did he say he had coming up? Did he say he's working on a movie now? I don't think he told us what the title was, did he?
I don't remember, Joanne.
Yeah, I don't think
I
he
don't
did,
remember.
So. Yeah, but again, thank you to our guests. We love you. Thank you to our sponsors, The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Catskill Provisions, KWV Wines, and Mr. John Arricchio. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you.
Thank you,
and
God.
Merry Christmas to everybody, and we will see you on Sunday, and I promise I'll tell you who's coming on. I'm so sorry.
All right, good night,
thank
everybody.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.